Well, good morning again, church family. It is good to be with you. My family's here getting fed, and hopefully you're getting fed in your household too. It was a great time of worship. You probably got some messages already. You don't even need a sermon anymore. You are filled with what God is saying to you. But I'm excited to bring the word too. God has stirred something in my heart. If you haven't been with us the last couple Sundays, we've been talking about wisdom. Two Sundays ago, we talked about the title of the message was Launching into Wisdom, and we went over the who, what, when, where, why, hows of wisdom and what God's Word tells us. Last Sunday, we did Wisdom 2.0. We talked about, from James gave us a description of how there's worldly wisdom and wisdom from above, and gave some qualities, how it's pure and all these different things. And we talked about even how there can be good wisdom, that the God's Word, you know, Proverbs is full of good wisdom. But there's even a better wisdom. There's good wisdom and better wisdom. There's practical wisdom, and then there's supernatural wisdom, or wisdom that doesn't make sense in our logic, in our own reasoning, right? Again, your pastor's favorite verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to lean not on your own understanding. Don't even lean on good wisdom, but in all your ways acknowledge God. Know him. Know who he is. Know what he's saying. You have ears to hear what his spirit is saying, and he will direct your steps. And sometimes we went through some Bible stories about Jericho and all the different things that God says. The Bible is riddled with wisdom that's from above, that's actually better wisdom than practical wisdom. Practical wisdom says, Gideon, you should have swords, you should have weapons, right? But instead, you're going to take jars of clay and put a torch in them. And you're only going to have 300 guys against hundreds of thousands of guys, right? All these different things. Scripture is just filled with wisdom from above that goes beyond reasoning, goes beyond practical reason. So we talked about Wisdom 2.0. So this morning, we are still on the theme of wisdom. And this morning's title is Spirit of Wisdom Speaks Life. The Spirit of Wisdom Speaks Life. And I want to talk some more about wisdom. And I'm going to use Ephesians 1:17 as really kind of a launch pad of where we're talking about. There's tons of verses all throughout Scripture that talk about a spirit of wisdom. But Ephesians 1:17 says this. I pray that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And you see, I underlined wisdom. There's this idea that Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and Ephesians is, I don't know, I have a lot of favorites. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. There's just a lot of, it's just filled with good truths, with things that are deep, things that are really hard to understand, but you have to really pour in and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them to you. But I love that Paul, when he's talking to Ephesians, he's not just talking to baby Christians. He's giving some heavy doctrine. He's giving some heavy theology, and I love that he is saying that as he gets the beginning of the letter, he's saying, I'm praying that God gives you wisdom from above, wisdom 2.0, wisdom to understand who God really is, revelation knowledge, right? And so he's saying, I want you to have this spirit of wisdom. So we're not going to go through it, but you can read Ephesians chapter 1, the first few verses before this. He talks about how the Holy Spirit is the seal of your salvation. He says, all right, Ephesians, in Ephesus, all you people there, the church in Ephesus, you have been saved. You've been born again. You have Jesus in your heart, and you have the Holy Spirit as the seal of your salvation. He dwells in you. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. But now he's praying, but I pray that a spirit of wisdom comes upon you. So for me, there's a difference. If you're reading Paul, he talks a lot about how there's the indwelling presence of God and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Again, Jesus. I preached for a long time from Isaiah 61, how Jesus, we know that when he was conceived in his mother's womb, it was the Holy Spirit that conceived him. So Jesus, the moment of conception, had the Holy Spirit in him, dwelled in him. But we know that there was a day when he was baptized, right? And the Holy Spirit descended and came upon him. And then in Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, right? All these different things keeps going on. But the idea is that Jesus even recognized there's a difference between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit that comes upon you, that anoints you, that empowers you. For me, you can read it when it says power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not when he dwells in you. Of course, there's power when he dwells in you, but there's this dynamite power. I guess for me, it's different. I can have a piece of dynamite in my hands. I can own a lot of dynamite. Great, I possess dynamite. Great. But when I light it and it explodes, that's different than just having the dynamite, than just having it in my presence, just owning it. But actually lighting it and having it explode, that's where the power is, when it actually explodes. And so I want to talk to you today about how the Holy Spirit does that in different ways, but specifically about wisdom. this spirit of wisdom, that it's not just this indwelling, that I'm gaining experience. I have a lot of knowledge from God's word. That's all great. That's all good and practical wisdom. I can even get wisdom from reading from Joshua and all these different people who've done things differently, where they lean not on their understanding. I'm learning how to do that. That's great. But there is this spirit of wisdom that when the Holy Spirit is upon you, there's this explosive power. It should look different than the wisdom of this world. It should look different than just practical good wisdom. And so I want to explain a little bit more, and it connects a little bit, but I want to read a few more verses. After Ephesians 1:17 we just read, I want to read all the way through verse 23. It's a little bit tangent, but it's just such good reading. I love, like I said, I love Ephesians, so you're stuck reading it with me because I love reading it. So Ephesians now 1:18. Let's keep going. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. I mean, just even those words. I'm not going to stop every sentence because I don't have time for that. But I pray that the light of God would illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Even Sandy talked about in the Sunday school class this morning about how the Holy Spirit stirs up an imagination, creativity, where we dream dreams, we have visions, right? The Holy Spirit gives us gifts where it taps into our creativity, our imagination, right? That God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could hope, dream, or imagine. There's these things that we are supposed to imagine, and the Holy Spirit wants to use our imagination, use our creativity, but he wants to bring explosive power to it. And so this is what Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. This is what I pray over us as a church. So let's keep reading. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. The full revelation. That is, what's the calling? That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. He finds you and I as his inheritance, and he wants to reveal his glory through us. This is our calling. So verse 19, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. That continually experience, right? That's what I love about the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me, but there is this continually filling that can happen in my life, in your life, that we can continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. So then your lives will be an advertisement of this. I love, this is the Passion Translation. If you didn't catch that already, there's a lot of different words that I'm not used to. But it says this, then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. I love that you're a billboard, you're on display. What God is doing in your life, should other people should watch you. I know even when I became a youth pastor, Jen and I were talking about it, and we didn't like, she called it the fishbowl. I don't want to be in a fishbowl. I don't want everyone to watch our lives and look at our family and observe and how we're doing things. But the reality is we should be on display. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives should be on display. You know what? Come follow me as I follow Christ. Watch how I do every area of my life. Nothing is hidden. That light is coming out of me in everything I do. And so I love that Paul is saying this. It should be an advertisement. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power and existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth. So you didn't catch that. I just read a whole bunch without pausing, talking about God's Jesus, how he's been exalted, how all the power of God has been manifested through Jesus. That if you see Jesus, you see the Father, right? All these things, that the explosive power of the Holy Spirit was on display all throughout Jesus' life, but probably the most was when he was raised from the dead, defeating sin, death, the grave, the cross. All these things were defeated, and he's at the highest place, right? Jesus is seated in heavenly places in the highest place. But then it says that we are his church here on the earth, here to display that same power. Ephesians keeps talking about how we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So he's saying that all this power that's been given to Jesus, it's supposed to be in our lives on display. The same power that rose him from the dead lives and dwells in you and me. And it's supposed to be exploding out of us in different ways. So again, connecting that right back to wisdom. Is the wisdom that is in the church, is it this explosive power? I'm desiring for it. And I want to look at how we can see it in Scripture. It happened. The spirit of wisdom came upon people, and it had explosive power to change the course of humanity, to change culture, to change history. And I'm saying that I want that to happen. I want that to happen in my life, in my family, in our church, in the culture at large today. I think I'm not the only one that sees what's going on in our world, and we're saying, man, this world is devoid of wisdom. So it's up for the church to be on display with an explosive power of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom to come upon us. So what am I talking about? The Holy Spirit reveals things. And he dwells in you, right? There's a difference, again, as I talked about, between the indwelling and when he comes upon you. And so for me, I know I've shared with you lots of times that Proverbs 4:7, as a young kid, I wanted to grow in wisdom. I think I have experienced. I'm 40 years old now. You know, there's some experience of life. I have more wisdom than my teenage boy. You know, all these things. I have some wisdom. But I want to move beyond just practical wisdom. I want to move just even beyond hearing the Holy Spirit and being led from my own life. I want to have an ability to have the Holy Spirit come upon me and have wisdom, not just for my life, but for other people. To change history, to change the government, to change all these things. And how does it happen? For me, one of the things is a word of wisdom. And I want to explain that. That the Holy Spirit can come upon you and give you a word of wisdom. And what is that? And so I want to look at what a word of wisdom is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul again tells the Corinthian church, he goes through these gifts of the Spirit. And he names out 9 of them here, but in other places there's actually more than 9. But in the verses we're looking at, he lists 9. And I'm not going to read all of them for you, but I do want to highlight some things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, you see that Paul says this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm connecting this into our Wednesday nights. If you were part of this last Wednesday, I am trying to activate the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. To edify all of us, to each one of us to have something to bring to a service, that we are supposed to be not ignorant, that we're supposed to desire spiritual gifts. Paul talks about that. Man, you should earnestly desire the best gifts. And so are we doing that? Are we desiring the gifts of the Spirit? And he lays these out here. And in verse 4, he says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. I love that he clarifies that all throughout 1 Corinthians 12. He's saying that you are one body. He goes into the body and how we are one. We all have different functions. We look different. There's diversity, but we are one. And we might have different gifts, but it all comes from the same Spirit. And not to go on a tangent here, but there are in the angelic and demonic realm, there are demons that are maybe talented and have area and influence and authority in specific areas, right? Just to go into pornography or lying or whatever it is. There's certain demons that are assigned to different tasks. But I love the Holy Spirit. He is the one Spirit that gives all gifts of the Father, that he gives us all gifts. It's the same Spirit that's in me. Sometimes I hear someone praying and I'm like, yes, that's exactly what's in my heart. And it stirs things within me to pray with them because it's the same Spirit that's in them, that's in me. And I'm like, oh, it's so fun that when we come together and God's given me a scripture and someone else has a prophetic word that goes right along with that scripture and someone sings a new song to the Lord. And it's so enjoyable to have the same Spirit that's bringing all these things together. And so I love that. Paul is talking about there's a diversity of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Then in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, which I just talked about. That each one of us are supposed to manifest or to exemplify or to put on display the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. It's not just to encourage us. It's to encourage everyone around us. And so this idea that I'm talking about, this Spirit of wisdom, it needs to come upon us to be on display for others. A spirit of wisdom should come upon us, not just to benefit our own lives, but those around us. That's what Paul is saying. And so he begins in verse 8 to lay out all the 9 gifts right now. But I love that in verse 8, what is the very first? If you would ask me what's the very first gift that Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians 12, I wouldn't have told you. I'd be like, I don't know. I could list you several of them. But I like that it's the very first one. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. It's the first one listed. And I'm not saying it's the most important, but I do believe that God's word often gives significance, or there is something sometimes highlighted the first time and the last time. Those tend to be important, right? Jesus said the first shall be last, the last shall be first. There's all these things about firsts and lasts. And so for me, that highlights to me that Paul lists the first gift of the Spirit is a word of wisdom. A word of wisdom. So what is that? I've heard that a lot. There's a word of knowledge. There's a word of wisdom. And I don't want to spend this whole message on just explaining what a word of wisdom is. But I do want you to understand that a word of wisdom is different than a word of knowledge, different than healing and miracles, right? There's something significant about it. And we've been talking about wisdom, right? Wisdom is not just information. So that's more of a word of knowledge. When someone, when the Holy Spirit gives you insight into somebody else's life, you know what happened in their life when they were a young kid, or you know what's going on in their workplace, or all of a sudden you are feeling emotions about them and their spouse, and you have sympathy and empathy and compassion for what they're going through, right? There's information about that other person that God reveals that to you. But a word of wisdom is now, here's a word from God, straight from scripture, straight from something I'm seeing, and this is how you apply it to your life. And it's going to change your emotions. It's going to change the course, the trajectory of your life. The path you're on right now is going to change because of this word of wisdom that God has given me. And here's how you apply it to your life. Here's what it looks like. And I would love that, right? Who doesn't want to hear from God? Who doesn't? I mean, I'm telling you, ever since I was a kid, like, which college should I go to? Who should I marry? All these things that I look backwards, they're pretty obvious. All the things I should have done. But in the moment, I didn't know. And I would love for some people to give me a word of wisdom, like, oh, that's what I need to do. And it sits well with your spirit, and you know that's from God. And I would love to be able to give that wisdom. And I'm sharing all this with you. I think I hit this once before, that just, I don't know, a few months ago, I was doing morning devotions with my kids, and we were reading through Proverbs, something, I don't remember what we read, but it was something about, I think it was the verse, he who walks the wise will become wise. And I was like, oh yeah, I've read that all my life, and I always want wise people in my life. Yeah, God, keep putting wise people in my life so that I can become wise. And as we read that with the family, I felt the Holy Spirit say, well, Ryan, you're the dad. You're supposed to be the wise one so that people who walk with you become wise. And I've read that, I'm telling you, thousands of times, and for the first time I realized, oh, I'm supposed to be the wise one. I don't like that. I'd rather be the person that has wise people in my life, that they give me wisdom. Oh, I'm supposed to give wisdom? Oh, that's different. I'm just being honest with you, even as a dad at 40 years old and a pastor, I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want that role, God. But the reality is that's what God is calling me to. And I believe that's what God's calling a lot of you to, is not just to receive wisdom for yourself, but God wants to give you a word of wisdom, a spirit of wisdom that influences other people's life. Other people are supposed to get wisdom. Other people are supposed to become wise when they're with you. And so I want to challenge you. This is not just for you to grow in wisdom for yourself, but for us as a church to have influence over our workplaces, over our family members, over the government, over everywhere we go. The church is supposed to have influence and to change the course of history. And so I just want to give you a few examples about that. Well, really quick, as I said, it's the first one. You know, gifts of the Spirit. I would say most of my life, I've given more attention to the churches I've been raised in, teachings I've heard. I've heard more on the speaking in tongues, on miracles, on healings. All those tend to get more attention. I'm not saying those shouldn't get attention. I want everyone to speak in tongues, like Paul says. I want everyone to prophesy. I want everyone to have every gift of the Spirit. But I think for whatever reason, this word of wisdom, just in my experience in the church, it's kind of been like on the back burner. It's been like, yeah, it's there and it's a good one, but it hasn't really been prominent. And I'm saying in this season, in this, I don't know, the season of life that we're in right now, the way the world is going on, what's happening in this Kairos moment that we're living in. We're living in such a time as this. I'm saying the church, we need to get a hold of this. We need to get a hold of this spiritual gift of a word of wisdom, not just good practical knowledge. Well, this person's saying this and that's not good wisdom. I get that. We need to have wisdom, but there needs to be a spiritual element to where it really is an explosive Holy Spirit gift in our lives. And so I want to give you some examples from God's word, and I'm going to do some Sunday school trivia for the kids in my room, in my house, and for you online. Let's see if you can guess who this first person is talking about. It's from Isaiah, and Isaiah is prophesying over somebody. And it says this, Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. So the Holy Spirit shall come upon this person, and they're going to have a spirit of wisdom. Does anybody know? Jesus, it's always the right answer. Your Sunday school class, Jesus is always the right answer. Isaiah is constantly prophesying about Jesus. He's a suffering servant, right? All these different things about Jesus. And so Isaiah here, he's saying the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon him and he shall have a spirit of wisdom. And I could point out tons of examples in Jesus' life where he had a spirit of wisdom. And again, I want to give you one example where it wasn't just that he had this experience, like when he was 12 years old, right? And he was more wise than all the teachers there. He just had this abiding wisdom. He knew scripture at 12 years old. He was the word, right? So he's reading the written word. And he's like, yeah, this is me. I'm the one who wrote it. To me, that's just, he has it. But there was moments where the Holy Spirit, during his 3 years of ministry, again, the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him for certain things. And one of it was for wisdom. And so you see constantly the Pharisees are trying to trip him up. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to say something that would make the people not listen to him. And so one of the classic ones is they come to him and they say, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes? And they're thinking, all right, if he says yes, we should pay taxes to Rome, then we got him. Then they're going to know that he's not the Messiah to deliver them from the Roman Empire. And, you know, all the Jews are not going to like him now. But if he says, no, we shouldn't pay taxes, oh, then we report him to the Roman government and he'll be arrested and we can get rid of him. So they're like, it's a win-win situation. No matter how he answers, we got him, right? And so, of course, as your pastor, you know, I love his answer because really they're saying, should we pay taxes to Caesar or does our money belong to God? And as your pastor, if you frame it that way, what would the answer be?
Yes.
And that's really what Jesus says, but he's even way more. To me, it's a word of wisdom. As they come to him, they try to trap him. He says, all right, give me a coin. Give me a denarius. And he looks at the denarius and says, all right, whose image? Who's it? Who's on here? Whose picture is on this coin? And they're like, well, Caesar. And he's like, all right. And he flips the coin back to him. Well, give to Caesar what Caesar's and give to God what God's. To me, that is a word of wisdom. He didn't jump in the middle of an argument and say, well, I know you're trying to trap me. And if I say this and argue with the Pharisees, he didn't argue with them. He just said, all right, you're trying to figure out truth. Let me tell you truth. This money, it has Caesar's name on it. It's his. You live in a secular human society. You're going to have to follow government. You have to follow government. That's just the way it is. I've set up government. It's all throughout his word. I've set authorities over you and governing authorities. And you're supposed to submit to them, right? But God is the supreme. Everything belongs to him. And so I love that. That was a word of wisdom that diffused an argument. How many of us have gotten into arguments that we shouldn't have been in? And I'm saying that we know we're right. And we have Bible verses to say it. Maybe I'm getting on scary waters here. I've even heard pastors quote this same story about Jesus to defend their argument, to say that the government is wrong and the church is right. And I'm saying, no, that's not the word of wisdom. That might be some practical wisdom. I agree, we have the First Amendment, and I'm all for that. But I want a word of wisdom that diffuses arguments, that brings truth and revelation, that somehow brings partnership, that brings greater understanding, that helps the gospel to go forward, not to minimize what God is doing on the earth. And so I'm saying, I want that. I want to be able to diffuse heated conversations. I don't want to get tripped up where, I don't know, I know I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one listening that you've heard what's going on in our government with decisions being made, whether it be taxes, your finances, closing schools, opening schools, closing churches, opening churches, whatever it is, there's things that I become passionate, emotion, and I don't like things, and I share my argument and my opinions with whoever is in my earshot, and I'm saying, I got to stop that. I want a word of wisdom. I want to be able to diffuse problems and say, this is what God is saying. Holy Spirit, would you give me a word of wisdom that's not just for me, that actually helps diffuse the situation for everyone else who's in my, right? Jesus wasn't just doing that for himself. He wasn't trying to get himself out of a sticky situation. He was surrounded by a crowd and with Pharisees, and he was diffusing a hostile situation. That's what I want a word of wisdom for, like Jesus. All right, another Sunday school trivia, another one that maybe you guys can guess this. The right answer is not Jesus this time. We're going to read another Bible verse, this time in the Old Testament. Genesis, we'll give it away. There's some context in here that hopefully, if you know your Sunday school, you might know this. But Genesis 41:38 says this. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to blank, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. Not Benjamin this time, somebody else in the room.
Joseph.
Talking about Joseph. Pharaoh, hopefully you got that. Joseph. So Joseph, again, recognized that the Spirit of God, I don't know if you get this, he didn't just say, oh, this guy's wise, he's got good information. He recognized that the Spirit of God was on Joseph. And then he said, can we find anyone as wise as Joseph? And again, the context of the story, not reading the whole thing to you, but I think most of you know this story, that Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph was a dreamer, right? He always was dreaming, and he had this ability to interpret dreams because he constantly was having dreams. And so he knew how to interpret dreams, and he's in prison Long story to get there. And Pharaoh has this dream. No one can interpret the dream for him. Finally, someone says, oh, there's a Hebrew in jail. He interprets dreams. I bet he can do it. And he comes before Pharaoh and he says, yes, Pharaoh, you dreamed of seven fat cows, and these seven skinny cows ate the fat cows, and seven healthy bundles of grain, and then these seven weakly limp, you know, weak, dying, decaying bundles of grain came up and swallowed up the healthy ones. He's like, what this means is, and he interpreted the dream, right? He says, all right, it means there's going to be 7 years of plenty where everything's going great. You're going to have an abundance of harvest. Everything's going to go well. It's going to rain at the right time. No monsoons, nothing going bad. But then after those 7 years of wealth and prosperity, there's going to be 7 years of famine. That was not the word of wisdom. That was an interpretation of a dream. That was practical wisdom. That was him gaining experience, having dreams all of his life, and knowing and having a spirit of wisdom in him that he could understand what God was saying through somebody else's dream. But the word of wisdom was what came after. Pharaoh said, oh, great, okay, wait, what do I do? And Joseph's like, can I submit to you? This is what I would do, Pharaoh. For the next 7 years, I would take 1/5 of everything that comes in, and let's build big storehouses, and let's learn how to preserve everything and store it. And so that after 7 years, you're not only having enough food to make your nation prosper, you're going to be able to sell all this food to other surrounding nations that are going to be desperate, that they're dying, and they'll give you every wealth they have just to get some food. And you're going to be even more, even during the famine, you're going to become even more wealthy. And Pharaoh said, oh my goodness. That's where he says this. Is there anybody as wise as this man? There's nobody. A spirit of wisdom is on this man. The spirit of God is clearly on this man. And he elevated him. And so I'm not saying that I want a spirit of wisdom because I want us to be promoted, because I want to be second in command of the nation. No. Interpret that story. What did Joseph do? He saved the life of his dad and his brothers. Had Egypt not done that, his dad and brothers may have well died. The nation of Israel would not have been founded. Joseph, through a word of wisdom, saved the Hebrew people. But in the process of saving his people, the people of God, he promoted a secular governor. He found a way to promote a secular king who didn't believe in Yahweh. But he made his life easier. Let me come alongside you, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave him, because he was so full of wisdom, I'm going to give you in charge of my whole entire kingdom. And Joseph made the nation of Egypt prosper. It wasn't a God-fearing nation, but they prospered under Joseph's wisdom. And I'm saying that's what I want. Of course, I would love for America to be filled with all Christians in government. The reality is that's not where we're at. And so I want to be a Joseph that has a word of wisdom that says, you know what? I know how to save the gospel and make the gospel promote and that it thrives. But also, I can also make my government their job easier. And they can actually like the church. They can actually partner with the church and not be mad at the church always defying them. That's a word of wisdom. That's what I believe that God is calling us into, is to be like Joseph's. Let's go one more example, a third example in scripture. This one might be a little bit harder than the last two. It's not hard, but maybe it takes a little more thinking. So I'm not going to give you the book of the Bible because that would give it away. So it's in this book of the Bible, chapter 5, verses 11 through 12. It says this: there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy God. Get this pattern? A spirit was on Jesus, a spirit on Joseph, the same thing on this man. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy God. This man was found to have insight, understanding, and wisdom like that of the gods. An excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this man. Now let blank be called, and he will give the interpretation. All right, not Benjamin, not Joshua. Anyone else know in my room? Any of my kids?
Daniel.
Nice. Ezra, got it. So Daniel, that's Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, 12. I couldn't give you the book of the Bible and then ask you the question who it was. So Daniel has this ability to have the spirit of God on him. And he has the wisdom like the gods. These secular kings recognize that Daniel has wisdom that's far above everybody else. In fact, I skipped a verse in verse 11. It says, your father, the king, made him chief over all the magicians, all the astrologers, all the fortune tellers of Babylon. That he was promoted over and over again. Several different kings kept promoting him because he had a word of wisdom. He knew how to, again, promote God in the midst of a secular nation without the kings killing him, even though he you know, continued to pray, right? We know the story of Daniel and lion's den. How did that happen? He never stopped worshiping God. He never stopped praying to God, but he found ways to worship God, even in the midst of a secular government. I'm saying we as a church, we've got to find ways to do church and partner with our government. I get it. Is there a time to fight the government? Maybe. Is there a time to bear arms? Is there a time to revolt? Is there a time? Maybe. Maybe there is. I'm not saying there isn't. But is there a time to partner with a secular government and find ways to promote the gospel within a secular government? I say maybe. Yes, throughout scripture, we see that happening. And so I want us to have this desire for wisdom. And On purpose, I think it's still there. There's that blank there at the end. I'm going to read this again, and I want you to put your own name in this Bible verse. I want you to put your name right there. As we read that again, put your name as if scripture is writing about you. So let's read this again. There is a person, because it could be man or woman, right? Or a child. There is a person in your kingdom, God, in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. This person has found to have insight, understanding, and wisdom like that of the gods. An excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this person. Now, let Benjamin, let Kim Cabrera, let you fill in the name. I could name a whole bunch of people from our church. Let you be called, and you will give the interpretation. You will be able to give a word of wisdom. That's what I'm saying. I want us to grow to desire to have the wisdom of Daniel, the wisdom of Joseph, the wisdom of Jesus, where it comes from the Spirit of God, where it is a gift. It's not something you earned. It's not something you went to school and gained. It's not from being a Christian all your life. You could be a Christian for 3 days. I don't care. If the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon you and gives you a spirit of wisdom and you have a word of wisdom, it's going to change the course of history. And I'm saying, I don't care who you are, he's no respecter of persons. You can have the gift of wisdom. Are you desiring it? As he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to desire the best gifts. And he lists this one first, a word of wisdom. Are you desiring it? Are you pursuing it? Are you asking for it with greater fervency in this season of life than ever before? Are you comfortable? I'm telling you, I'm still learning to put my name in that verse and to be comfortable with that. But I feel like God, the Spirit of God, is telling me personally, Ryan, learn to be comfortable with being called a wise man of God. That might sound arrogant and boastful, but I'm telling you, everything in my flesh is like, I don't want to be called that. But I know what God is saying. I know my shepherd's voice, as Sandy's been talking about. He's saying, Ryan, it's time to be a wise man of God who gives words of wisdom. That other people who are around you become wise because they're with you. I'm not saying that just about Ryan. I'm saying that about you, about us as a church, Osborne Neighborhood Church. If I'm honest with you, if you were there last Wednesday night, I am feeling and sensing and encountering the presence of God that he wants Osborne to be growing in our favor with the government. Mm-hmm. There's no way it was a coincidence that God was telling me that we couldn't be back on our campus. I was getting no reasons why. God, why not? Other churches are. Why can't we go back onto our campus? I got no reasons why. And finally, there became a green light. All right, on Wednesday nights, you can start in August. I started planning. I started getting excited. And then all of a sudden, this whole COVID testing, I knew it was supposed to end at the end of July. And the beginning of August, we'd be good to go. And then all of a sudden, a governing official calls me out of the blue and says he wants to extend into August. No, that's when I was going to bring the church back onto campus. And then, like I shared last Sunday, and then I had a congressman telling me, no-name pastor in small little Arleta, what can I do to get your congregation back on campus? To me, that is a confirmation of God saying, this is why. And I'm connecting it to a word of wisdom. I'm connecting it to partnering with government. God is saying, I want you to steward the favor that I'm giving to Osborne Neighborhood Church. I don't want you to always be defying government. I want you to get rid of that attitude. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to learn how to partner with governing officials. People you disagree with, people that are doing things that are anti-biblical. Would you learn how to love them and partner with them like Daniel, like Joseph? Would you learn to have a spirit of wisdom? And I get it. If we're honest, you can look at our world, look at our society, look at culture. It's as if it's being what was prophesied by Jesus. That is in the days of Noah. That's when it will be, when Jesus returns. So it's easy for some of us to say, oh, evil's abounding. Jesus, just take us out of here. Let's get Jesus returned today so I can get out of here. But I begin to think about that. And it was funny to listen to Sandy this morning. She talked about Noah a couple times. The world was going to hell in a handbasket. Everything was going wrong in Noah's day. But Noah got a word of wisdom. I want you to build an ark. What is an ark? I've never seen it before. I don't even know what a boat is. It was a new thing for a new season. He had to build something that had never been built before. He had to trust God that God was going to do something he'd never done before. Make it rain from the heavens, right? Make it flood the earth. It never happened before. He put a rainbow, he'll never do it again, right? There were things that God was doing in Noah's day that had never been done before. We are living in a time and a season where things are happening that had never happened before. And Noah, through a word of wisdom and his obedience to walk out that word of wisdom, there are now 7 billion people alive today because of Noah's obedience to a word of wisdom. What if Noah didn't listen? What if Noah didn't build an ark? Maybe God would have made some other way. I get that there's sovereignty and all those things. But I'm just telling you, because of Noah's word of wisdom, he saved not only his family, but all the future generations of humanity. You and I believe we are called to shift and to change the course of history. Amen. As in the days of Noah, if it wasn't for Noah, God was going to kill all of humanity. As in the days of Noah, yes, anger, righteous anger should be building up because there is evil abounding. But can there be a word of wisdom that saves and redeems and promotes the gospel? Can that happen through you and I? Can we be like a Noah and get a word of wisdom for something that is happening that's never happened before? Man, a coronavirus and shutting down and everything that's going on. What if there was something else that happens that we've never gone before? I want us to be ready, that we have this word of wisdom that's happening in us, maybe in small ways. On Wednesday nights, we get words of wisdom for each other, and then it grows. And then we have words for our leading neighborhood council. We've got something for someone else. But I'm saying we've got to learn how to steward these gifts. The Holy Spirit says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And this is one that I think we really need to get a hold of. These ideas of the gifts of the Spirit, they're all connected, right? They all go together. And I think I shared last Sunday, I don't remember where it was, but I shared that I heard another pastor say that in these last days, discerning spirits, he believes, is the most important. And I'm saying, well, I think a word of wisdom is right there with it. I think they both coincide. Being able to discern what the enemy is doing and what God is doing. And then having a word of wisdom saying, okay, here's how you handle it. Here's what we do. Mm-hmm. Discerning spirits. You know that if we read through John chapter 10 in Sandy Sunday School class about Jesus being the good shepherd, he says this in John 10:10. That's the easy verse to remember. That the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. Amen. Can you discern? Yes, maybe it's easy to see that things that are happening, the enemy is trying to destroy and kill and rob us of our joy and our peace. Yeah, that's obvious to see. But do we have a word of wisdom that we say, no, but this is what Jesus is doing. He is bringing life. He has brought life. And it's inside of me. And I have an abundance of life that I have so much so that others can get life out of me. Right? I love that where it says that they may have life. I don't know why I've read it so many times where I've always just understood that Jesus has life for me. Abundant life for me. But as I read it, he kept saying they. I know in context he's talking about sheep. But as I'm reading that, I'm saying, oh no, again, it's not for Ryan to have abundant life overflowing. Yeah, it is, but it's also for them. Where the enemy has robbed them of their joy, of their peace. I'm supposed to have so much abundant life coming out of me that I have something to give to them, that they can have life. So I got to wrap this up. I got lots more to say, but I got to wrap it up. Where has the enemy been robbing you of your joy? Where is he been robbing you of your hope? Are you just saying, yeah, we're in the days of Noah and get me out of here? Or are you like Daniel saying, yeah, the enemy just came and killed my parents and I'm in a foreign land and everybody hates God where I live, but I have an opportunity to change this culture. I have an opportunity to influence the king. He's put me here for such a time as this that I could have been created and born at any time in history, in the timeline of history. But God purposed me to be alive for such a time as this, to get a word of wisdom to change my culture, to have a voice to speak into kings' lives, to speak into governing authorities. Again, I'm not trying to say that I want influence and I want fame. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want a word of wisdom that changes my nation, amen, that changes my city, where my city, when I come back into LA, sometimes my heart grieves with the darkness and the perversity that's going on in our city. Yeah. But may I not be overcome with evil. May I overcome evil with good.
Amen.
May I speak life. Speak life. And I'm just going to take another 2 minutes as we're trying to wrap this up. But speak life. That was the title of this morning's message. I didn't even get to the whole second half of how a word of wisdom speaks life. When Joseph spoke, he was speaking life. He was saying there's going to be a famine, but there's a way to preserve life. When Daniel spoke, King, this is about to happen, but you can preserve your people. You can prosper. It was speaking life. Speaking life. Really quick, I love that my kids love Toby Mac, and he sings this song, Speak Life. And the lyrics to just part of that song is, speak life, speak life. To the deadest, darkest night, speak life, speak life. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted. Watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. I am believing that God is giving us words of wisdom. I'm asking for it. And I believe that you are going to begin to ask more for words of wisdom. And as those words of wisdom come, it's a supernatural gift that's going to speak life into other people. Where they look dark and they've been inundated with the lies, the enemy, all the things the news is perpetuating. And they've got a downcast spirit. That here at Osborne, we don't have a downcast spirit.
Amen.
That we got the joy of the Lord. That we have His hope as an anchor for our soul. That the Spirit of God is in us. We have this excellent spirit. That even as Joseph was in a dungeon, he began to run the dungeon. He began to make the jailer's life easy. He began to interpret dreams. He made the dungeon look good. Paul, writing those words in dungeon, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He lived in a different realm. Daniel, we just read those words. Can you put your name there? That no matter where God places me in history and humanity, I'm going to speak life. I'm going to change the course of history because God has put a spirit of wisdom inside of me, and it's this explosive power that when it comes out of my mouth, it changes my city. It changes my church. It changes my family. So as we close in prayer, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Change my heart, God, where I've been downcast, where I've been angry, where I've been arguing. Holy Spirit, I want your words of wisdom. I want to be like Jesus. I want to diffuse arguments, not throw fuel to them. God, I want to know how to partner with even, yes, secular and evil governing authorities. How do I do that in a wise way? God has seen it throughout Scripture. It happened. A word of wisdom came, and they were able to bless secular kings. God, how do I bless my governor, my mayor, my congressman, my president? God, as the elections are coming, I want words of wisdom. I want my president to have words of wisdom.
Amen.
I want my vice president speaking words of wisdom over my Donald Trump. I want my governor hearing words of wisdom from prophets within the church. God, I want, as the pastor of Osborne Neighborhood Church, I want to have words of wisdom for my people. God, I want Osborne Neighborhood Church to be filled with people who walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Namely, the first one you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, Holy Spirit, that's the first one that you had Paul pen down, was a word of wisdom.
Yes.
So God, may we take that to heart today. May we desire, as James says, that if we lack it, we can ask you, and you give it liberally. So we ask for wisdom, practical wisdom, supernatural wisdom, and a word of wisdom. God, may all three of those forms of wisdom flow through us freely. We desire them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for listening, and I pray that I'll be able to see most of, if not all of you, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in our courtyard. God bless you guys. Happy Sunday.